of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The life of St. Vincent Ferrer was influenced by several important factors in the world, and especially at the European level. The Black Death pandemic, also known as the pestilence, which spread everywhere, hit Europe hard between 1346 and 1361. This affected the entire society, and specifically the convents. This influenced the moral decay of the religious life, and led to an economic bankruptcy of the religious houses. On the other hand, there was the Hundred Years' War between the English side of France and the French side, which lasted over 100 years starting in 1337. Another very important point of ecclesial relaxation was caused by the Western Schism between 1378 and 1417, when there were two and even three popes, with the consequent loss of prestige of the church itself, and with loss of authority and decline of religious discipline. All this was experienced to some extent by St. Vincent Ferrer. To repair so many evils, God raised up our saint as a living prophet, who for many years toured cities and towns in Spain, Italy, France, England, Ireland, and Scotland, performing miracles everywhere. His work is still alive in many places. Let us invoke with faith and hope his protection, with the assurance that he is alive and interceding for us. At the death of Pope Gregory XI, the French cardinals, who were in the majority, wanted a French pope, while the Roman people shouted, "We want a Roman or Italian pope." On April 8, 1378, Pope Urban VI was elected. All the cardinals recognized him in public and in private, but since from the beginning Pope Urban VI took harsh measures, without regard for the cardinals, some of them rebelled against him. 13 of them, mostly French, met in Fondi and established that the election of Pope Urban VI had been null, because it had been obtained by pressure from the Roman people, and therefore without true freedom of the cardinals. Then these 13 cardinals elected another pope, considered to be the authentic one, who was called Clement VII, also known as Robert of Geneva, between the years 1378 and 1394, and who settled in Avignon. In this way, the schism of the West began, since some countries obeyed the Pope of Rome, and others the one of Avignon. On the side of the Pope of Rome was St. Catherine of Siena and St. Bridget of Sweden, and on the side of the Pope of Avignon was St. Vincent Ferrer, the entire cloister of the University of Paris, with its chancellor Jean Charlier de Gerson, and Blessed Pierre de Luxembourg, famous for miracles. Some dioceses had two bishops, and the same happened in some abbeys and religious orders, as they were appointed by one or the other pope. The prestige of the church declined, and religious discipline suffered. When the Pope of Avignon, Clement VII, died, the cardinals of his obedience elected as pope the Cardinal of Aragon, Pedro de Luna, on September 28, 1394, who took the name of Benedict XIII. In May 1396, the King of Aragon died, and our saint was freed from being the queen's confessor. Then the chosen Benedict XIII called him to his court of Avignon and appointed him his confessor, apostolic penitentiary of his court, his domestic chaplain, and master of the sacred palace. St. Vincent Ferrer spent 2 years living at the court of Avignon between the years of 1397 and 1399. While St. Vincent was at court of Avignon, he was seriously ill and about to die in 1397. And Christ our Lord appeared to him, and cured him, and made him an apostle with the mission of preaching everywhere. In a letter to Benedict XIII in 1412, he communicated in the third person, after 15 years, the following. More than 15 years ago, a religious, being seriously ill and begging God to give him health, to continue the preaching of his divine word, as was customary, moved by zeal for the good of souls, he came to remain possessed of a soft and mysterious dream, and in it he saw Jesus Christ on high, with great majesty and glory, and kneeling at his feet the saints Dominic and Francis, who begged Jesus to come down and visit the sick man. The Savior of the world agreed, and came down with them, and approaching the sick religious, he caressed him, touching his cheek with his most sacred hand. Jesus spoke to him and encouraged him that by imitating those two holy patriarchs, he would go around the world preaching, with the warning of the coming of the Antichrist, so with his medicinal doctrine, the mortals would be corrected beforehand. At the touch of our Lord Jesus Christ's hand, the religious awoke and found himself entirely healthy. St. Vincent Ferrer left Avignon on November 22, 1399, to begin his work as an apostolic preacher. From then on, he walked the roads of Europe, preaching the Christian message and performing miracles with the power of God. Faced with the bleak panorama of the schism, the conciliarism theory took place, stating that the General Council of the Church was above the Pope. This heretical theory emerged as a way to solve the problem. Then a council was held at Pisa in 1409, which declared the two popes retired and named Alexander V, also known as Peter of Candia. This complicated everything, because now there were three popes instead of two. Again, another council met at Constance between the years 1414 and 1418. Fortunately, the Pope of Rome, Gregory XII, abdicated for the good of the Church, and before resigning, published a document by which he summoned the Council of Constance, thus giving validity in its decisions. The council dismissed the anti-pope John XXIII, and as the Pope of Avignon, Benedict XIII, did not want to resign, the kings of Aragon and Castile, who followed him, took away his obedience, advised in this by St. Vincent Ferrer, who from the beginning had been faithful to the Pope of Avignon, thinking in that time and in good faith that Pope Urban VI of Rome had been chosen under pressure from the Roman people and his election had been invalid. Benedict XIII, seeing himself alone and at the same time having ceased to be pope by the Council of Constance, locked himself in his castle in Peniscola Castellon. In Constance, Pope Martin V was elected for the good of all on November 11, 1417, thus overcoming in this way the schism. The new pope sent an ambassador of himself to St. Vincent Ferrer to let him know that the pope was granting him broad authority to absolve any censure and reserved cases and to impose the penance due for sins on all kinds of people, as if he were one of the apostles, and the Pope exhorted St. Vincent Ferrer to continue his apostolic missions. A neighbor of Valencia had a 14-year-old daughter that was possessed by the devil, and he brought her to the presence of the saint. The lousy spirit stubbornly resisted, but in spite of it, the father took her with great shouting and tumult. Placing the girl at the feet of the saint, the man of God asked the evil spirit, "For what reason have you entered this maiden?" To which he replied, "It was about 7 years ago that I and other companions entered the house of her father, with the intention of moving him to such anger so he could kill his wife. The wife made the sign of the cross to herself and entrusted herself to Christ and his mother. With this, she cut off our strength, and then, enraged at having lost her, we gave the house such a strong battering that its inhabitants believed it was collapsing. Everyone inside the house did the sign of the cross on themselves, except this maiden, and because she was disarmed, I entered in her with hurry." Hearing this, the saint said to the devil, "Enough, the permission of the Most High is over. Get out of this creature instantly and without replying, and be it for the ugliest place that you know, and do not hurt any part of the body." The demon replied, "They did well to call you Vincent, because I can't resist you." After the demon came out of her, it left an infernal stench of sulfur, and the maiden, free of the evil spirit, was very faint. The saint ordered the father to take his daughter away, to make her do the sacrament of confession, and to teach her Catholic doctrine. While the saint was preaching in the town of San Mateo, the devil wanted to prevent him from preaching. It was thus that, taking the figure of a venerable hermit, with a penitent habit and a long beard, he entered the town and with feigned modesty was able to attract the high regard of many. From this point, he began to want to smudge the opinion of the saint, such that he taught unsafe doctrine and little in accordance with the law of God, and to convince them to withdraw from hearing him. Some were already leaving the saint's company, and the damage would have passed later if the government had not taken a remedy, seizing the feigned hermit and throwing him in jail. The next day, the hermit wanted to give himself an exemplary punishment. They sent the guards to the dungeon, which today is still called the Devil's Dungeon, to bring him to court. They went for him, but they no longer found him, and they only found the chain and the shackles. And the saint, smiling moderately, said to them, "It was not necessary to wonder, because that apparent hermit was not really one, but a true demon who in those clothes had wanted to prevent the fruit of preaching." preaching one day in Lent in 1413, in the main square there appeared so many crows in the air, squawking over the people, that like a thick cloud they covered the sunlight. St. Vincent Ferrer later learned that those apparent crows were actually demons in disguise, and making the sign of the Most Holy Cross against them, he said to them, "Go from here to the well-deserved place that has been prepared for you." And suddenly, as soon as the saint said this with his voice, the crows took flight and disappeared, with none left. On March 8, 1411, St. Vincent returned from the Lorca to Murcia and stopped until Easter, and in this half-time, he preached with wonders and miracles. He preached on Palm Sunday in the main square to more than 10,000 people, and in the middle of the sermon, three ferocious horses appeared, one black, the other pale, and the third one of the color red. Foaming at their mouths and giving hideous neighing, they attacked the people with such kicks and bites that they frightened the audience, and the audience started to flee. The saint said, "Trust in God and do not fear them. Arm yourselves with the sign of the cross, that these horses that you see are not really what they are, but demons with that appearance." He then turned to those beasts and said, "I command you from Jesus Christ that you leave the city and be harmless to anyone." The evil spirits obeyed, and running first through the city, they left through the gate at noon. Then the saint declared the enigma of that vision, saying to the people, "Good courage, children, and do not be deceived by the devil. These that you have seen in the form of horses tried to harm you, but now, thanks to the Lord, they have left, although they have left some trace, that a maiden whom her mother has not wanted to bring to this sermon is now offending God." The mother who was at the sermon understood this, and hurrying out among the people, found her daughter in her house sinning with a man. The mother, blinded by her anger so much that she could not hide her feelings, and she, like a lioness, returned to the place where the saint was preaching, and said, screaming, "It is true what you said, saint of God. I have found my bad daughter, as you said." One day, while Saint Vincent Ferrer was preaching, they brought him a possessed man, who, having been sprinkled with holy water, the possessed washed his face with the same water, saying these words, "Oh, how good is this water!" Seeing and hearing this, St. Vincent Ferrer thought that this water must not be blessed, and immediately he ordered to bring water to him. Then the saint blessed it and sprinkled it on the possessed, and suddenly the demon came out of the man. In Polenza, when St. Vincent was preaching in the field, pitiful voices of a child were heard, as if he had fallen from the mountain, and at the same time, cries of people who were lamenting. The saint said to everyone, "Nobody move, because those voices are from the devil to prevent you from hearing the sermon." With this, the voices ceased, the audience calmed down, and continued listening to the sermon with attention. Other times, the demon appeared in the form of an animal, and crossed the auditorium to hurt him, and at the sign of the cross made by the saint, the demon disappeared. One night after Matins, the saint was praying in front of an altar of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The devil appeared to him in the form of one of the desert fathers, with his beard down to his waist, and said, "Do not be surprised, Vincent, that I visit you, because the affection I have for you and the pity that your austere bearing gives me, it forces me to come from heaven and give you light of the true path. I am one of the famous monks of Egypt. In my youth I was dissolute. I gave sensuality what it wanted. After fearing a sudden and unexpected death, I tried to change my life by retiring to the desert. And since I had satisfied the desire, I was angered by the outdated delights, and with the help of God, I undertook and happily continued the penitent life of the anchorites, and I obtained from the Lord what I wanted. In view of this, I advise you that, if you wish to reach perfection and lead a holy life in your old age, do not grieve now in the prime of your age with so much mortification. Nobody, sooner or later, stops incurring in some lightness, and these better befall you in youth than in old age." St. Vincent Ferrer, hearing such infernal holy advice, he easily met the mock hermit. He armed himself with the sign of the cross, and with the names of Jesus and the Virgin Mary, said to him, "God is and will be my protection in my youth and old age, and to him I have consecrated my whole life. You failed in the beginning, stubbornly closing the door of your will to the divine light that bordered on you in the first instant of your creation, throwing your pride into eternal darkness." The demon, seeing that he was discovered, he fled confused, giving terrifying howls, and annoyed to see himself so deeply defeated by our holy youth. the saint himself revealed this case to some religious, begging them for God with rigorous precepts that they tell no one, but they, judging it unworthy that such a memorable event should be buried in oblivion, spread it throughout the city. The altar of the Blessed Virgin Mary, before which the saint prayed, was then in the rectangular column that mediates between the chapels of St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Peter the Martyr. While praying another night after Matins in front of the altar of the crucifix, he saw the common enemy in the form of a fierce Ethiopian wolf, who said to the saint, "I will make such ties for you that despite your prayers and penances, you remain clumsily defeated and entangled in vice." And St. Vincent responded with intrepid courage, "I trust that the divine grace will assist me, and thus I do not fear your cunning or strength." Then the demon replied, "It will not always help you. It is only for a very few to persist in that grace. But when Christ leaves you, seeing you stuck in vice, you will know what I can do." But to this, the saint, armed with faith and humble trust, replied, "God does not fail those who with humility distrust themselves and trust only in His majesty. And having granted me His grace to begin with, I trust He will grant it to me out of His infinite mercy to persevere in His service until death." He then armed himself with the sign of the cross, and invoking the sweet name of Jesus, he lashed out at the demon, which instantly disappeared in a rush. Saint Vincent was persecuted by the devil and by other followers of the evil spirit who wanted to kill or discredit him. For this, they resorted to various ways. Friar Egidio Morelli declared that the saint had arrived in a valley where there were some infidels, and there he preached the word of God. It happened that these infidels, hardened by the evil spirit, laid snares at night on St. Vincent, and in the house where he was resting with his companions, they went up to the roof with swords and spears, and discovered the house and the room where he was going to rest, and with that they believed they could kill him. But by the grace of God they couldn't, and so two or three times they wanted to kill him and they couldn't. This is how it happened. Bernardo de Prats tells us, St. Vincent decided to leave the city of Lleida to go to the city of Balaguer. While he was on his way, accompanied by his company, he saw many well-armed people in the distance, and turning to those who accompanied him, said, "Look at those who come towards us armed to kill me. They are the pimps of the converted prostitutes." His companions said that they were going to defend him to the blood against those armed men. However, St. Vincent Ferrer did not want them to do anything, and asked them to move away, while the saint waited for those armed pimps. As they approached, the saint made the sign of the cross to them. After that, the pimps quickly laid down their arms and went to revere the saint, and converted to the good life, followed him like the rest of his company. And this witness, when he was questioned about this, he also stated that the whole company saw the saint as he did. On another occasion, a woman tried to make him sin. Her name was Ines, a beautiful woman in body and ugly in her soul, tanned with the fire of lust. She fell in love with the saint so much that, almost powerless to restrain her passion, she pretended to be ill to achieve her evil intent by that means. Doctors came to the feigned patient. They applied various remedies to her, but the woman didn't benefit from them. She tried to confess not because she wanted to, but because this was the only way that the devil suggested to her to achieve the passion that she had for the saint. So she called the servant of God, St. Vincent Ferrer. St. Vincent Ferrer came to see her, and she did not show off the bond that the devil had for him. She hid for a while, and when she was going to signify the fire of her awkward love to him, she responded only to the exhortation that the saint made her to do a good confession. But finally, the devil fanning the fire and deposing all fear, accompanied the voices with many tears, and spoke to the saint like this, "You know, Brother Vincent, that I am not ill in body, but in heart and soul, and if you do not sympathize with me very soon, be sure that my death will come. A year ago, seeing your kindness and beauty, I was so in love that not only did I experience being burned with the flames of the interior fire, but many times I wanted to signify my loving passion to you, and the natural embarrassment and blush of sex stopped me, and much more I was horrified and retracted the consideration of your holiness and your innocence." And seeing that her awkward words did not move the most chaste saint, she tried to give them activity with very dishonest actions, and throwing the sheet off, exposed her body to the most chaste eyes of the saint. The saint was astonished with such awkward courage, calling God in his heart. The saint said with severity, "From my tender years, I offered my body and my soul to the Lord, and by solemn vow, I forced myself to keep perpetual chastity. Thus I abhor all carnal and earthly love." Having said this, he left the room, fleeing like another chaste Saint Joseph from the lascivious mistress, leaving Inez more scorched with contempt than with the flames of her impure love. She wanted to shout and pretend that the saint had tried to taint her honor, to leave him affronted, and then to spread this around the city. The demon could not achieve this through her, because if she wanted to say something, she was left as mute. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.